Welcome to the final episode of the Sanlam ESG Barometer Series for 2024. I'm your host, Andile Khumalo, and today we'll be focusing on ESG additionality in Kenya. Now, according to a recent report by the Global Reporting Initiative, companies that prioritize ESG additionality can drive measurable impacts that go beyond mere compliance. In Kenya, this notion is particularly pertinent with the potential to enhance both sustainability and economic growth. The 2024 Sanlam ESG Barometer reveals insightful data on how businesses in Kenya are approaching ESG initiatives. I'll give you an example. Over 60% of companies surveyed indicated a commitment to integrating additional ESG strategies to create positive societal impacts, highlighting a collective understanding of the necessity to go beyond traditional practices. Joining me today to delve deeper into this topic are two very esteemed guests. Lillian Mwikali is the portfolio manager at Sanlam East Africa Investments, and Frank Mwiti is the chief executive officer of the Nairobi Securities Exchange. A very welcome to you both. Thank you so much for joining me. Lillian, I'm going to go straight to you first. Can you share what ESG additionality means in the context of Sanlam East Africa and how it influences your own investment strategies?
Thank you, Andile, for having me. And indeed, Sanlam Investments East Africa is truly honored to participate in this year's Sanlam ESG Barometer launch and this series as well. So let me begin by saying that ESG forms part of the investment process at Sanlam. And this means that we actively review ESG considerations whenever we carry out our investment due diligence on both potential and existing investments across different asset classes. Now, zeroing into your question on ESG additionality, this is the improvement in environmental, social, and governance value beyond what would have otherwise occurred without sustainable strategic investment. So it really refers to a strategy where a business focuses on directing investments towards initiatives that would enhance environmental and societal positive outcomes in addition to enhancing ESG compliance. So just going over and above and really ESG compliance, which is the bare minimum, but allocating capital towards environmental, social, and also governance positive outcomes. At Sanlam Investments in South Africa, we're intentional about investing in portfolio companies that are ESG leaders. So basically, that means that this is the area in which we would drive ESG additionality through continuous evaluation and engagement with our investee companies on the ESG activities. I think what we've seen is that businesses are incorporating ESG factors beyond mere compliance and more towards positive, sustainable, societal, environmental, and governance, lasting and sustainable change. Companies, especially those listed within the Nairobi Securities Exchange in Kenya, are demonstrating a commitment to exceeding the minimum standards in their strategic environmental, social, and governance activities. Closer to what we are actually talking about, the Sanlam ESG Barometer 2024 actually stands out for its emphasis on ESG additionality by highlighting how companies allocate capital towards driving sustainability. We can see that from the survey, about 95% and 94% of the corporates who participated in both South Africa and Kenya respectively actively look for new projects that will have positive outcomes on society and environment. So it's actually a live engagement within the listed space. And I think this is an excellent collaboration.
It's a good time to bring in the CEO of the Nairobi Securities Exchange. Frank, ESG and what it means to you as an exchange and to the companies that are listed there is a relevant question because, you know, you don't necessarily have companies saying, I want to go list my company because I care about ESG factors. Most people list their companies because they're raising capital, because they're growing, because they want to appeal to an investment community in a particular geography. How do you then infuse these ESG factors into the companies that are listed for you guys? And what does it mean for your own companies on your exchange?
Thank you, Andile, and I'm glad to be here. You're right. The listed companies, at least the ones on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, are not just adhering or responding to ESG requirements, you know, just for show. But I think there are three things that I think are important to emphasize in terms of how the NSC and other exchanges around Africa, what role they can play to make sure that ESG is not just mainstream by listed companies, but actually that additionality comes through. The first one, of course, is our listed listing requirements and guidelines. And by that I mean the for example, the ESG disclosure requirements in our listing rules that require companies to provide very clear, consistent, and comprehensive information on their environmental, social, and governance performance. Now, as reporting continues to come through over the years, what we are finding is that companies are getting more motivated to improve their ESG credentials, not just to meet investor expectations, but even other stakeholders, whether those are employees, whether those are suppliers, whether those are regulators, government, policymakers, etc. So this is one of the key things. The other thing that, of course, we are pushing is facilitating the issuance of green and sustainable instruments or listed financial products. Think about things like green bonds, sustainability-linked products, impact bonds, gender bonds, etc. That all speak to the ESG agenda. And we are doing that, of course, in collaboration with other stakeholders in the capital markets space. The last bit I would want to point out, Andile, speaks to the interventions we are doing to create investor awareness and to capacity build potential issuers of ESG instruments. I'm speaking both from a commercial perspective, i.e. issuing ESG instruments to raise capital, but also the regulatory and compliance element of it.
You speak about increasing capacity. Lillian, let me come to you on that one. And maybe let's discuss some successful case studies or initiatives where you've seen ESG additionality in action in Kenya.
Thank you. Apologies for that. Indeed, in terms of investment, we have several case studies. But let me bring it closer home by picking on Safaricom, which is well known globally for its financial inclusion contribution to society. I think its revolutionary M-Pesa mobile money transfer service has actually enabled financial inclusion to above 90% in Kenya. And we actually see them deploying that in markets that they're actually venturing into, such as Ethiopia. And I think it's commendable and really adds to societal additionality. When it comes to environmental additionality, Safaricom is also very keen on their agenda. They want to reduce carbon footprint, and they do measure their scope 1, scope 2, and 3 carbon emissions on a year-to-year basis, with a target of being a net zero carbon emitting company by 2050. I think this is commendable. And lastly, when it comes to governance additionality, they're very deliberate and have a robust governance process and structures in place. And I think more something just worthy of mentioning, and I really do commend them for this, is that they do have a risk and ESG committee as part of their board committees when it comes to the overall governance of the entity. And just that just really pushes their risk management and sustainability agendas. Another example that I would just highlight outside of equities is the Acorn REIT and Green Bond, which is basically funding that was sought to build affordable student accommodation in Kenya. And the buildings were constructed using green energy, and they sought to conserve water. And as a result of that, Acorn was actually awarded the EcoDevi sustainability rating. And I think that's just really commendable, and it just shows that there are several ways in which businesses can push the environmental, social, and the governance additionality at the agenda within their own business frameworks and strategies, implementation programs.
That's brilliant. Those are really, really great examples. Thanks for that. Because it's those success stories that can inspire others to adopt similar approaches. Thanks, Lillian. And let me come to you, Frank, one last time. And let's just talk about challenges. I mean, it's not all a bed of roses, right? I mean, these are not easy things to implement. Sometimes there are costs. And I guess to a large extent, many fellow African companies can start feeling like, you know, we are solving a problem that's potentially created by the West, and not necessarily us. And here we are maybe being forced to do this. What challenges have you seen in the Kenyan market where some of potentially your issuers at the Nairobi Securities Exchange have had to overcome in order to not only comply, but deliver real ESG additionality?
Thanks. I think, look, the first bit to say is, given that we're in 2024, I think the days when ESG was a mere compliance issue or a tick box exercise are behind us. The world has moved. ESG is fully mainstreamed to the extent that this is the way everyone will do business going forward. And I think, therefore, the challenges really will point to how to mainstream ESG within not just the listed companies, but the other businesses in Kenya. Let me point out more specific key challenges. The first one is there is a limited awareness and understanding of ESG additionality among local investors and companies. And so we need more education programs and more clarity around the value of ESG integration in order to be able to overcome the awareness and understanding gap. And there is interventions happening around that, including, of course, some of the thought leadership that's coming, for example, from the Sanlam ESG barometer report. The second thing that's a challenge is... data and standardization, because one of the major challenges is the lack of standardized ESG metrics and reporting frameworks. Okay, so you're finding investors and regulators and indeed even issuers often facing difficulties comparing different ESG performance reports across companies, across projects. And so there is need, and we are already working on some of these things to try and harmonize reporting standards. The last one, which is always a challenge and will continue to be a challenge, is matters capital, access to capital. Because despite growing interest, in ESG, access to capital for sustainable projects is still difficult to access, especially in Africa. And the reason it's not because there is no capital, it's because the requirements to originate, structure and bring to market a project that meets the ESG standards, it's actually not a walk in the park. And even so, even after getting funding, there is still requirements to keep the project compliant and above board. So that's tough. Now, markets like ours require a lot more heavy lifting. I believe, Andile, that one of the key things that we have to agree is, number one, we have to localize global standards so that they are more suitable to our environment. Number two, we need blended finance to be able to catalyze commercial capital to come into the ESG theme. And then the last one is, there is a category of businesses that are very instrumental in Africa that are not usually included in this conversation. And these are SMEs. Okay, they are the driver of the African economy one way or another. But a lot of times, and you know, I'm guilty of it, of course, we focus on big companies, listed companies and all that. But actually, if you look at most economies in Africa, if not all of them, the engine is actually SMEs. So how do we intervene and support SMEs to also be part and parcel of this? So those are the challenges I would highlight. Among many others.
Of course. Frank, Lillian, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, you both, for your time. Thank you for your enlightening contributions today. So, and of course, your insights have helped us not only underscore the importance, but also reflect on the commitment of the Kenyan market towards sustainable practices that can benefit both her society and, of course, the economy at large. I'm also excited to share with everyone that the Sanlam ESG Barometer 2025 will be even bigger and better, packed with invaluable insights and industry trends that can guide businesses in their sustainability journeys. From me, Andile Khumalo, until we meet again, take care. Goodbye.